tickets ain't straight. TSA, your ass back.
Okay. What's going on, guys? So we're on the air. We're going to listen to De La Soul's newest album. Thank you to Elena, my friend out west, for telling me all about it, because it's awesome. We have the professor, as usual, and Christine. She's joining us. One of my training partners from the gymnaz, the old jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai styles.
I'm trying to keep us on track.
Yeah.
That's good.
Exactly. It's...
Professor, I'll have to figure out a name.
Yeah. You can come up with a name anytime.
Yeah.
All right. So, might as well just jump right into it, I guess. The thing I've been reading about a little bit this week towards my, basically most of the topics I pop in my head are topics that come up when I'm doing reading for my thesis.
Yeah.
And part of that was this cognitive dissonance and polarization and how it's kind of leading to some really unfortunate consequences. So I'm just going to kind of like lay it out so the people listening, all two of or three of them, maybe four of them, will know what we're talking about. So cognitive dissonance is it's a natural kind of human condition where there's mental stress or discomfort, where an individual simultaneously holds two or more contradictory beliefs or values. And this really, you know, reveals itself, especially when they're acting on one of those values that contradicts against another one of their values. Or, and this is what we're going to get into mostly today, I think, is when they're confronted with information or input or stimulus that directly contradicts their values or beliefs. All right, so this dude back in the day, and I don't know what back in the day is. It could be like 1987. It could be like 1935. I don't know. His name is Leon Festinger. And he came up with this whole theory of cognitive dissonance. And he says, to achieve internal consistency, people actively avoid situations and information that causes discomfort. Right? So what's happening is it applies to like our generation and the current reality of the internet. Because everybody's on the net, on the web, on the line, is there's this thing called cyber balkanization, or the splinter net, which I think is kind of fun way to look at it. So the internet is inclusive. Everybody has a voice. Nobody is excluded unless, of course, you're too poor to have a library card to go down. And there are, you know, marginalized and disenfranchised people out there who don't have access to the internet, and that's sad. But for the most part, the hierarchy and the structures of communication and authority, social authority, political authority, have been kind of crumbled, and everybody can participate now. So given the inclusivity, you would think there would be a ton of information out there of all different opinions, and that people would tend to lean towards being more moderate or on a sliding on the spectrum. But that's not actually what's happening, and the data is showing that people are becoming more extreme. So, I think it ties into this cognitive dissonance. You believe in something, right? You believe this, whatever it is, and let's just call it a woman's right to choose, right? So the whole abortion argument. Say you're a pretty moderate guy. You're like, well, I'm not pro-abortion, but I'm not like anti-abortion either. I think I'm pro-choice, right? To a point, and then somebody says like, well, what about this? You know, and he throws something at you. You would think that you could argue or discuss with them your moderate point of view and drawing from all the multitude and plurality of opinions out there. But what's actually happening is they're finding that that guy who is kind of middle of the road is actually getting pulled into an extreme. So that guy who before was like, yeah, I could take or leave it, I don't have that much of an opinion on it, is becoming either very much pro-choice or very much pro-life.
What do you think that is? Just more access to information?
Well, you would think that the access to information would have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
But I think what's happening is people are doubling down, right? They have an opinion, they have a belief or a value, and when that is being contradicted, or, you know, they're encountering divergent theories or divergent opinions and values, rather than talk about it, you know, in living in the moderate, in the middle, people are getting their backs up and they're retreating into the little hubs, the little communities of extremists. Right? Yeah. So society's becoming more polarized.
And am I...
So, let's talk about that before we, you know, I'll preface this by saying there are no experts here, right? If I had a friend who was an expert in this stuff, he or she would not be invited to talk about it.
Yeah. So, no, like, I think of, you know, when you see a lot of those extreme opinions on the internet, it seems to be that those people are more likely to put their, you know, opinion out there, and that the people who live in the gray or in the more moderate, you know, views on these topics are not going to be the ones that are going to be sort of ringing their town crier bell to get it out there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame that those views are pulling people towards one side or the other, because it's not really based on a whole lot of information at times.
It's not always sinister, though, and here's an example. So, I'm from Olt, Alberta, small town. You know, there were definitely no transgender people in my town. There was a few dudes who were closeted homosexuals that I knew. But for the most part, it was, you know, working class, upper middle working class, oil field guys, white dudes, a lot of Anglophones, not a few Francophones, but that was about that. You know, so I never had an opinion. I was like, when it comes to the, you know, homosexuality, at least regarding civil rights, I was like, absolutely. I mean, I got no problem with two dudes kissing in a bar. I got no problem with homosexuals having their place to go. It's not my scene, you know. I'm not an advocate for them, but I'm not against them either. And then the last few years, especially now that I have some friends that are transgendered, and I've met more and more people since I got out of Olds who are actually like gay, lesbian, LGBTQ, you know, I actually am now, I have very strong opinions. I'm no longer moderate on this. I'm very much pro, you know, like, pro rainbow flag, rainbow nation, you know, like, I was never prouder of Trudeau than when he was walking in that, that parade, the pride parade. So, you know, it's a good thing. I was a fence sitter, but then exposure kind of led me into that. But that's not because I felt like I was pushed into it or pulled into it originally at first, but now I do. Like, especially when you see what's going on with, like, the bathroom issue down in the States right now. Like, it's absurd.
But in your case, more information put you on one side.
Yes, exactly. Have you ever in your life had, like, a thing where originally you knew a little bit about a thing, and then the more you learned about it, you're like, you know what? I actually am going to take a more polarized, extreme stance on this.
I can't remember a concrete example, but like, let's say when you talk about abortion type of thing, like, I know I had mentioned to you before, like, I'm such a, I think sometimes you can get, you can be an, I'm an open-minded person, right?
Yeah.
So let's say on abortion, I can be like, well, you know, like, I'm pro-choice type of thing, whatever,
yeah.
But then like, pro-life people will come and say like their opinions and stuff, like, so I can be like, yeah, well, I can see, you know, what you're
yeah.
saying there, and be kind of let's say, and you said this person would have been torn, but then let's say a pro-choice person might meet this person and bring all their points, you know, to that person, so then but then you can be swayed back into that. So it's kind of like you don't even know where there's so many. You can almost be so open-minded that, but maybe you're sitting in the gray all the time. Maybe that's what, that gray zone that you're, and you're not, or you can be, you're going back and forth, you know?
Well,
like,
and that's,
oh, yeah, okay,
and that's
yeah.
the beauty of having an open mind, is I think.
But you don't know where you sit almost.
Yeah. Well,
like,
you know, that, well, that's the thing, is you don't slip, sit, you slide,
yeah.
right? You slide around the spectrum, right? Like, so this is the difference between Canada and the U.S. This is a good example. In Canada, even our so-called right-wing conservatives are not that right. Like, they're center-right, right? And our liberals are center-left. Now, the NDP, they're pretty far to the left, but we're I think as a nation, we kind of are open-minded and liberal and tolerant. And we, and that tolerance, I think, necessitates sliding around, and the majority of your time is spent in the middle. right? Like if you look at a soccer game, look at a soccer field or a football field is a better example. American football. Look at a football field after the game. Where is all the mud? Right down the middle, right? I don't think we naturally want to be on the extremes. Like football game, the most work gets done right in the middle because you have the most room to move around. Once you get it to the extremes, you're kind of pinned in. But this is happening down south. People are getting pinned in, and they're digging in more and more. I have a few examples.
So I wonder if these are certain types of people that get sucked into one like extreme or the other. You know, like if it's a, if you.
Well, you know, and one thing that I do a lot of reading about is the five-factor model of personality, right? So there's like certain factors that we all have that we all sort of fall in a range. And one of those factors is agreeableness, you know? So people who are going to be high in agreeableness are going to be more likely to, you know, see the other side, to keep an open mind, to not be confrontational in their views, because that's just how they get along based on the personality. People who are lower on that scale are going to be more likely to put up an argument regardless if the information is right or not. So yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are people who are lower in that factor that are going to put up an argument just for the sake of their argument and hold deeper extremes.
Well, okay, so here, that segues really nicely into my first example, right? So standing firm in your beliefs in the face of irrefutable proof that you're wrong.
Right.
That everything you believe is founded on lunacy. Okay? So in 1956, this is 1956. We're not talking 1456. 1956. The International Federation of Flat Earth Research Society was founded. Okay? Flat Earth Society. Mm-hmm. 1956. Keep in mind Sputnik. I looked this up. 1957. April 1957. So, like, alright, 1956 rolls around. You know what, bro? I think the Earth is flat. You know, all Galileo, Newton, all those dudes. Totally wrong.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Earth is flat. All right, cool. I agree with you. Let's start this thing up, right? Like, well, you sailed boats and we've flown planes. We've never sailed off the edge of the Earth, but whatever. We're not going to get involved in the science of it because I just believe the Earth is flat. So here's a few of the guys that are still current leading members now of the Flat Earth Society. There's a guy named Muhammad Yusuf, who's the founder of Boko Haram. He's a Flat Earth Society contributor. And Kyrie Irving, basketball player. Man, thinks the Earth is flat. Kyrie, you build your own planes all the time to, like, fly to different places to play basketball.
Is there money involved there? Like, is he just saying that because...
No!
He's probably flying on the flat plane, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The world
right?
is
like,
big.
Yeah. All right. So, like, here's people... And, you know, And this is an example of, you know, them getting their backs up, right? Like, I'm going to push back against something that goes against my beliefs. I believe the Earth is flat, okay? Here's a picture of the Earth from the moon. The Earth is not flat. Oh, that's not real. That was done in a soundstage. Okay, Sputnik went there, and then, you know, I don't know how long it took Sputnik to go around the world, probably... maybe an hour or so. I don't know what the speed was, but there it is again, you know, like it's there, it's going around and around. We have satellite photos of Earth, so like I don't understand how these people can be like, no man, like the Earth is flat, I'm telling you, but like I'm showing you evidence that you're not right. You're threatening there, you're putting them into this kind of stressed position where their beliefs are being challenged and it's psychologically uncomfortable for them. So they're just getting their backs up.
Yeah.
And they don't care that they look like idiots. I don't understand. Do you guys know anybody, and let's not use any names, that believes something that is so... Like, and it's not like a matter of opinion, like, or like homosexuals, like God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Like, that's an opinion. I can't definitively prove to you that homosexuality is not morally reprehensible. I don't believe it is, but I can't prove it to you that it's not. Other than to say that it actually does exist in the animal kingdom with other species. So there's a certain nature to it. So we're not talking about that, but I'm talking about something that is so, you know, obvious that you can prove to them you're wrong. And still they believe. I got a fresh one right on my mind. It's an obvious one,
actually. Yeah, I mean, most of the people who have those views that are wrong, in my opinion, or by fact, tend to use religion as...
That's a big one, yeah.
Oh,
as a reason for why they feel or like think a certain way, and you know, like to each their own. I'm not a really religious guy, but I like facts. I like logic, and for people who argue a certain way based on you know, some scripture that you know may have been written thousands of years ago, that's where I sort of run into it the most. But in terms of outside areas, most people are pretty open minded to you know facts and statistics, but that's the biggest one for me.
But those religious guys are pretty they're pretty selective, and I'm going to do something. I've done this every episode, even though I said we will never fact check, and I find myself pulling out the old Google machine here. But yeah, all right. So citing religion, that's fair enough if that's what your belief is. But you can't pick and choose it. Then you have to be either that's my thing. That's my framework for the world, 100%, I'm in. Or you're not. So I'm going to see, there's a few crazy ones here. There's like some crazy religious beliefs, like in Christianity, you're not supposed to plant two different crops in the same field. There's actually something about that. There's just some craziness here. And I don't know what they are, but I'm going to look them up. But here's, while I'm looking this up, so, in the face of irrefutable evidence, actually, compounded by the fact that, all right, so we have evidence that that whole point of view is messed up and wrong, empirically and quantitatively wrong. Additionally, we've totally undermined and proven that the guy who came up with it was fraudulent, and that's the whole anti-vaccination, right? So, this guy, we talked about this before, but I'm going to swear less this time. So Andrew Wakefield in 1998, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, some British bloke, some general practitioner of medicine, some guy, he submitted a paper that made a correlation between the MMR vaccine, so measles, mumps, and rubella, and autism. So he submitted this, and the big thing about science is peer review, right? So if it's science and you hand me your results, I should be able to replicate that. If I can replicate that, then we can proceed. So nobody else was able to replicate it. They're just like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Right? So in 2010, after a bunch of court proceedings, this guy was convicted, I guess, in the court of science, whatever it is, of 4 counts of dishonesty, because they basically know that he fabricated all of his findings, and 12 counts of abuse of developmentally challenged children, because that's who he was doing a study on. He was doing things like spinal taps on them and poking and prodding, things like very invasive procedures. So you would think that, like, okay, column A, we've proven that this guy is a whack job who made it all up and lied to everybody. Cool. So I'm not going to believe in him anymore. But we also have column B, where we have evidence that shows that there is no correlation between the two. So you would think, okay, I'm going to vaccinate my kids. And still, we have idiot parents out there not vaccinating their kids. To the point that recently here in Halifax, there was an outbreak of measles. 3 kids at some school. Well, they didn't say kids, 3 people at... Halifax West High.
There was one in St. Mary's University, too, case.
All right, so where I'm from, we don't question science. Most of the people I grew up with aren't smart enough. The doctors say jump, you jump, right? This is where we're at. It's not a super liberal, like, most of these people, like in California, there's a lot of these anti-vax guys in California. Where you're from small Acadian town, south Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
All right, what's it like growing up there? If you had people coming into your school saying, oh, or the parents in your community saying, don't vaccinate your kids. That guy says it's wrong. Like Jenny McCarthy. Yeah. Right? The celebrities saying don't do it. Like,
I think majority do, but there is your select few. Like, that it's not just jump. No, you've got your
like, it's not so culturally isolated that the celebrity still has some.
Oh yeah, you've got the few special people that.
Yeah, like in Olds, we'd be like, Jenny McCarthy, shut up. Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, yeah.
Dr. Gray, or Dr.
But that's what I mean. There's always those extremists.
Yeah, but and this is what I'm saying, and they're getting their backup. Like, we've proven that you're wrong. You're putting your kids at risk. You're putting other kids at risk. Mm-hmm. Just admit that you're wrong. You got duped by a dude with a degree.
But you know, people. I mean, it's like human nature to try to, like, you know, be right, or you know, to like stand up for what you believe in. And some people are just so closed-minded that they are going to believe what they believe, regardless of fact or logic or, you know, open discussion. And though it disappoints me, it doesn't surprise me anymore.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But
I'm not reading this one. Look at number six.
Is it going to make me sick? Or?
Yeah, it's probably going to bother you a little bit.
Yeah. So
yeah. That's in the Bible. Yeah. Jeez. All right.
Well, what do you think people are moving away from? You know, the Catholic Church and like Christianity.
No, but here's the deal, man. The
new, that's another discussion.
Yeah. This new Pope, though, he's the exact opposite of this. He's trying to pull everybody back into the middle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a boss, man. I love that dude. This guy, he used to be in a Christian death metal band. You know that? He says that homosexuals and atheists can still get into heaven. Non-Catholics can still get into heaven. Man, this guy is...
Oh, yeah.
This guy's pretty cool.
Stone had to turn the ship around, though.
Yeah.
Right, it was getting to a point where...
It was getting a little silly.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. Here's another one. All right, we're gonna get into this clown in a bit, but I don't want it to be about him, but he's like he's a vehicle to facilitate the next discussion. All right, but... North Carolina passed a bill last year, and that dude Trump, he just overturned. It wasn't a law; it was a direction from the White House that Obama put out. So it's not law; you're not legally required to do it. But Obama was like, "Dudes, school boards, this is what you should be doing." And the whole thing about turning over this transgender, using the bathroom of the gender you identify as yourself as being, they identify with. And now they're basically saying, you have to go, if you were born a boy, you've got to go and use the boy's bathroom. Never mind you're transitioning, you identify as a woman, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right. And one of the big things they're always setting in this culture of fear, you know, these, there's attacks happening. Like these transgender boys who have become women are going into girls' bathrooms, and like, we, like our girl, my daughter, is at risk. All right, so... I looked through a bunch of different sites, and they all say the same number, and it's shocking how obvious this number is. Do you know how many transgendered attacking cisgendered? So cisgendered is we're all cisgendered. You were born a woman, you're a woman. Mm-hmm. I was born a man, I'm a man, you were born a man, you were a man. That's cisgendered. Transgendered, you know what transgendered is. Mm-hmm. So you know how many reported attacks of transgendered persons attacking cisgendered peoples in public washrooms are? Just take a guess.
Zero.
Zero.
I was gonna say. Yeah.
Fucking zero.
Yeah.
It's never happened. So, now this is an opinion piece. Okay, this isn't the earth is round and, you know, vaccines don't cause autism. This is an opinion piece. I don't want transgender people using the bathroom because I think my child would be at risk. Yep. Now, the math has come out, and it's not proven because you can't prove something like this. It could actually happen one day, I suppose. Unlikely. Or if it did, it would be a different cause. It has nothing to do with...
Yeah, exactly.
Being raped or something? Yeah. Attacked?
This is what they're saying.
Okay.
So, all these numbers that you're stating, the risk is actually zero. As reported cases, zero. But still, these idiots, and I'll call them idiots, this isn't a difference of opinion, this is you being wrong. This is like people saying Nickelback is good, right? or the Maple Leafs are going to win the cup in the next 20 years. Never going to happen. All right? Wake up. It's, you know, it'd be like, yeah, it'd be like me saying, I'm going to go to the gym. In 4 weeks, I'm going to be a black belt. I mean, I could buy a black belt. Doesn't make me a black belt. All right. So, I just want to know, like, and I can't wrap my head around it, why this is happening. Why people are just... They're just, people don't want to be proven wrong, I suppose.
I felt like it's more of a, like, are they afraid that they're going to become, like, is it really that they think they're going to be attacked?
Well, this, or is, like, this is what they're saying.
You know how people are, like, they think they're going to...
It's lack of exposure, it's old school thinking, it's people with influence, right? I mean, people who have these discriminatory thoughts hold positions of power, who have the ears of, you know, politicians, and these things happen, right?
So where do you stand? Like, because I know when I worked for public health, for example, like you do youth seminars or something like this, for example.
It's all about education.
So it's like a field trip. You go to this university or something like this, and the top floor is guys, and the bottom floor is girls.
Yeah, I read about
showers,
that.
Showers. You know, so do we... Because some of the people that participate in these youth seminars and things like that are part of, like, these... So it's like, they think it should be, mixed. And that's where I'm kind of like, I see... That's where I get into the, like, now I see what you're saying. But then I see also that... I don't think it's a thing about being attacked, but, like, I can see that if we're just switching... If everybody's free to move around, like, there could be, like, some stuff going on.
Yeah.
Not necessarily... It could be, you know.
You're talking about, like, segregate. Now, I read about this university. It's a Canadian university. I forget which one it is. I hate not knowing or remembering all the details, but I do remember this much about it. They did an experiment in their sociology department where they actually took women, and the women sat in the front of the class in bigger classes, and the men sat in the back. And they did this because they discovered that men were participating more in the open discussions, because men dominating personalities, alpha male, asserting themselves, and women were feeling kind of like intimidated. So they actually did that, and it balanced it out. Men were still getting involved. It's not like you're sitting in the back of the class like, okay, I can have a nap. But women, when they weren't sitting amongst men feeling overpowered, they were actually getting more engaged in the discussion. Now, I know that's not about this, but it's kind of like talking about separating. But,
but this is teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, like, do we let them...
Yeah.
Like, you know, because this is like, we're talking about, you know, opening the bathrooms up to share, showers, da-da-da-da-da-da. So, like, is that...
Well, they do it in Norway and Sweden. They don't have, in the schools, they don't have men's and women's
Everybody's
bathrooms.
Mixed?
Yeah, but there's no urinals, right? Everything's a stall. So you go in and, you know, I don't know.
But it makes you kind of like...
It's about the comfort level too, right? I mean, like, I don't think it has so much to do with... I know in terms of my own views about being attacked or having, like, a gay man attacking me in a shower, because I know that doesn't happen.
No, it could happen to you because you're a deadly good-looking guy. It would never happen to me.
But in a general sense, right? I mean, as long as you're, like, comfortable with that kind of thing, and again, that goes back to exposure, it's about knowing these people, and... because they're your, like, family, your friends, like, they're, if they have, like, criminal tendencies, then that's what's going to make them do those kind of things, not their sexual identity or gender or...
But I think where they pop into the teenagers is then you're, if you're mixing everybody, is that you're risking, you know, it could be a high sexual you know.
Yeah, just because of that age and, you know, hormones. And, and I think
that's it's about. Not, because they're not, like, they don't want to bound, no boundaries.
Yeah.
You know what
but
I mean?
But then,
like,
the argument there with the bathroom would be...
Or dormitory,
that,
you know.
That would,
like,
be like that transgendered woman, a transgendered female student and her boyfriend going into the bathroom to have consensual sex in between classes because they're teenagers and hormones are going crazy.
Yeah, but do you think, like, a guy and a girl have never gone into a high school washroom to like make out and stuff.
You know, dude, of
like,
course.
Oh, well, right.
I was in high school.
Yeah. So,
like, you know.
Or like a bar.
Yeah. So that's the argument,
time, right? Yeah.
You know, and so if I was the father of a boy, and I found out that he was going into the bathroom for a little, you know, in between math and in between biology. We'll yeah, recess. Well, recess.
A little recess.
A little young, yeah, but he's going in there with his girlfriend to have a little hanky-panky.
Yep.
I'd be like, so, like, I'd be the principal. Why are you wasting my time with this shit? You called me in for this? Like, what do you want me to do? He's a kid, you know?
But this is like a field
trip. Now, yeah. Now, if his girlfriend would happen to be transgendered, I'd also be like, why is this a big deal? Well, you know your son's girlfriend's transgendered. Like, yeah. Why is that your business? I don't care.
Equally as likely to.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of... It's like, do we open up the... Like, the transgender... You can use whichever bathroom you want because you're transgender. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everybody else... I think they're like... They're wanting to... and this is what I mean, where I don't know where I sit with this opinion. Yeah. Or with this... like, you know, the guys were upstairs. These are like little dormitories. The guys were upstairs, girls were downstairs. And then some people were like, it should be
mixed, yeah.
Open.
Co-ed.
Yeah. Like, do...
High school yeah. kids?
Yeah.
But kids are going to be
kids.
I can think about, like, going at, like, summer camp, and, like, they had the guys and the girls or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to, you always found a way of, like,
dude, exactly.
Meet me here at this time regardless.
I got my first handy at a wilderness Bible camp in the foothills of Alberta.
Right. Yeah. Where there's a way.
Yeah.
What was her name? Melody? Oh, she's from, like, Black Falls, Alberta.
Yeah.
This is back in 1993. I wrote letters to her, like, all summer after that. And then I was just like, fuck this, I'm not writing letters anymore. This is too much work. If I had the internet back then, it'd be like a little text, you know, a little tweet.
Yeah, but that's it, right? So, like, you, like, made it work regardless of, like, where you were staying and what the...
Yeah,
you know,
if there was boys and girls bathroom
right?
back then, for sure.
Tent, but,
right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
Pastor, I had no idea. I'm sure he did.
So do you think it would? But do you think it would increase the amount of this stuff happening if it was like free, like because back then obviously it would have been male, female, right?
Yeah.
They're wanting it to be like mesh.
But here's the deal, though. You're never gonna stop it.
Yeah.
So if you can't stop it, and I argue that you shouldn't even want to stop it. That's beautiful, natural. You know.
Yeah.
Do it. Then you might as well teach them. To do it properly and safely and with respectfully.
Well, the only other like similar topic I can like relate to what we're talking about here is when I was like 12 years old, I went to St. Pierre Miquelon, which is a French island.
It's French.
Yeah. So
yeah, my mom broke her leg there, and she had to be flown back to Canada for healthcare.
Yeah, probably to like the like Buren Hospital down.
Mm, wherever.
But yeah. So right. So I was 12. We're there on a hockey tournament for Easter, and our friend there, our Billet, he was there at lunch, and you know, his dad offered him some wine with brunch because that's what they do. And like, he's young, right? Like, he's like 12 years old.
French.
Yeah. So, but you know, I met this guy again, Guillaume.
William.
Exactly. 16 years old. We're in a tournament. I think it was in Bishop Falls, Newfoundland, because they used to play with us for, you know, hockey and whatever. Anyway, same thing. We were 16 year olds. Right then and there, when we're starting to drink a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, going away from. You know, the folks to have a couple of drinks, and like, he came with us, but like, when we were trying to get all this beer and stuff and like get a buzz on, he's like, well, like, no, it's, you know, I'm here to play hockey, it's not a big deal for me.
Yeah,
because he was exposed to that kind of thing throughout his whole life. He wasn't, you know,
his exposure
whole life. Right, so for us, where we were, and my family was a bit more, you know, trying to keep me on track, so whatever, not that I was sheltered by any means, but when I got the opportunity to try that kind of thing, I was more motivated to do that, when for him it wasn't a big deal. So by maybe having that increased exposure back, you know, at that sort of gender level, then, you know, maybe they wouldn't be as likely to try to have those sort of dangerous behaviors to get, you know, pregnant early or what have you. So I don't know, there's an argument for the other side as well.
So that actually we can use that to bring it back in. So rather than, so what you're talking about is the alcohol, right? To this kid, he wasn't binge drinking. He wasn't getting all twisted and lit, because to him it was just like, guys, you can't like just have a couple glasses of beer, glass of wine, whatever. Yeah. Because he was exposed to it. Yeah. His parents didn't try to shelter him from it. They were like, he's going to do it anyway. Let's, you know, teach him the respect for it. Like it or not, the rainbow flag is there. Homosexuals, and I like it, are out of the closet. They don't feel the need to hide. Now, some of them still do.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah. I think we're more accepting of them, mm-hmm. right? As we should. Transgendered people, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you never even heard about it. It existed, you know, the procedure and that whole subculture, but you didn't hear about it. Now, you know, I never thought I would have good friends of mine that were transgendered. I have very good friends of mine that are transgender. Like it or not, it's there. It's going to be there, and it's not going away. Why try to shelter your kids from it? Shelter them from something that's ultimately harmless anyway, because it doesn't affect them. Expose them to that community. Let them relate with these people, have friends with people, because once they finish whatever they're doing, and they're out of school or whatever, in the real, real world, these are the people that are going to be riding on the bus with them, working alongside them in the cubicle, sitting beside them at, you know, the John Mayer concert, you know, like
their boss maybe.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You're their boss, right?
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't, I mean, I hope you're never planning on going on a trip to Thailand, cuz this is an industry there, right? Yeah. So it reminds me of a thing I read pretty recently and I loved it. I love reading this, and I'm actually probably going to print it, find it again, print it, and frame it. And it said something along these lines. It's about, right, this is about bathrooms as much as it was about water fountains, right? So transgender people in using bathrooms, it's about the bathroom the exact same way as it was about African Americans using the same water fountain as white people. It had nothing to do with the water fountain. It had nothing to do with the bathroom. It's all about intolerance. It's all about small-mindedness. It's all about this shit, about getting your back up and retreating into your extreme views. This is a civil rights issue. And this is why Trump is getting away with this, because he's saying it's not a civil rights issue. It's a state thing. It's a public education issue, which belongs to the states, not to the federal government. Because if it was a civil rights issue, now it belongs to the federal government.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it's a civil right? Like, I believe that LGBTQ and whatever other letters are coming, because they're always adding a new letter to the end of it, and I'm cool with it. It just takes me a minute to learn what that letter means. I do believe that's a civil rights issue of our generation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as like time goes on, this is going to be more just the norm. You know, days will go when this is, say, a daily issue or, like, article on the CBC News or whatever, it'll just be...
Consulted with the science, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, our science is through the roof now.
You know, and we are more accepting. Some countries are not as accepting as, you know, we are here, but I think it's just a matter of time that we're supposed to get there. Certainly in North America.
Canada.
Yeah, but...
I'll say Canada. I don't know about... All right, so... Man, we're up right on track, like, right on track. We're 39 minutes right now,
yeah.
And we're winding down here. All right, so I didn't want to talk too much about this guy, Trump. I don't know what everybody's opinion on the guy is. I don't really care, but he does set up the discussion. Like, again, I don't want this to turn into a bashing Trump thing. I think the dude's crazy, and that's enough we have to say. But he's a good vehicle to lead into the next thing. About people who support opinions or positions, even in the face, like I said, of overwhelming evidence that it's wrong. So this Andrew Wakefield guy, the doctor, he got revealed, exposed as a fraud, and he has since been stripped of all his credentials. Like, this dude isn't even allowed to practice medicine in the Caribbean. You know you fucked up as a doctor when you're not even allowed to practice medicine in the Caribbean, right? So... that's how bad this guy is. And still people believe him.
This is the autism guy.
This is the autism guy. Yeah. All right, so Trump. And we have friends that, you know, support him. In the beginning, like, yeah, I like him, you know? Or, like, I don't like him, but he's, like, the lesser of two evils. I'll even buy that. I'll even buy that he's the lesser of two evils. Sure. I don't agree with it, but I'll buy that that's an argument. Yeah. I'll buy that that's an argument, right? But the more and more crazy shit that this guy does, the more I would expect these friends of mine to be like, oh, yeah, maybe you're right. But no, this isn't what's happening. They're actually, like, retreating. Like, no, of course he's got the right to do this. Like, of course he's got the right to impose that Muslim ban. No, dude, it's unconstitutional. Well, no, he has every right to make that call. Like, no, the judiciary, the independent third branch of the government that exists to make sure that this does, like, unconstitutional shit doesn't happen, has said it was wrong. Well, no, he has every right to be like, no. Like, dude, the Constitution said he was wrong.
Yeah.
So here's a few other things that I just did a little reading today to prepare for this about if I was supporting a guy, a politician, and then just lies. And it's like, we were talking about this earlier. We were cutting up the antipasti, right? Lies. Is it lies or is he just wrong? Is he just making up shit? Alright, so here's just a few real winners that we can quantitatively say he's wrong. He said he had the most electoral college votes since Ronald Reagan, who got 302. You only need 270 to win president. So he said Trump got 304. I got the most electoral college votes since Ronald Reagan. George Bush Sr. got 426 in 1988. Bill Clinton got 370 in 1992, and then 379 in 1996. And Barack Obama got 365 in 2008. All of those are larger than 304. And still, all the people who are saying, no, Trump, you're wrong, he's like, fake news. You're not allowed in the White House. Like, dude, we can count it. Like, we're not, this isn't an opinion thing, and it's not my opinion you're good or bad. This is just numbers. He said his inauguration crowd size was bigger than Obama's. Like, they showed pictures. Like, I don't even need to go through and count the heads of people. You can just look at the pictures and be like, wow, like, that's, you didn't, you know. And some people will say, well, those pictures were taken at different times. Like, okay, like, maybe like a 30 minute, like, Is it really going to be 1.2 million people show up in 30 minutes? I don't know. I probably not, but maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. But, you know. It's just insane. And yet people still support him, right? And so, like, what we were talking about earlier, and I think this might be funny for you. So you've heard about all these town halls that have been happening in the States. Mm-hmm. All these congressmen are reaching out to the community, hosting these town halls, and they're getting lit up. They're getting lit up. This one woman I saw the other day, it was on C-SPAN, CPAC, whatever the hell it was, and she was from some Republican state. I want to remember, but I just can't remember right now. It was like West Virginia, maybe. And she said, she's lighting up her congressman. She says, I voted for Trump. I voted for you to do a job, to protect us, to do your job and represent us. You're talking about repealing Obamacare. I have a pre-existing degenerative condition where if she doesn't get these medications and these treatments, she will die. She said that, I will die. This isn't hyperbole, I will die. And so, but you want to repeal Obamacare. So I'm watching that and I was like, you admitted that you voted for these guys. These guys said they were going to do this, and now you're criticizing them for doing exactly what they said they were going to do. So in the face of overwhelming evidence that this was bad for you, you still voted for them, and you're still supporting them. You're still backed into your corner. Like, why would you vote for a guy? Why would you assume that position and get backed into a corner and vote for a guy, or assume a point of view or value or belief that you know was going to lead to you dying?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's sad is what it is, and, you know, like, it just shows that they're not looking out for their...
They want reality shows. You know what I mean? I'm convinced that that's what America wants. It's like, but it's their presidency. is the government. Reality. You know, like it's not just a reality show.
Yeah.
So, and this is really funny. I actually had, I was not entirely right, which surprised me, because I usually don't look things up unless I already know the answer, and I just look them up to like prove my point.
Yeah.
Narcissist. I couldn't understand why are, all right, so Republicans, if you're a rich white guy, it makes sense for you to vote Republican. If you're some Wall Street douchebag, or you're some, you own a golf course in, you know, Texas, you vote Republican. But if you're downtrodden, poor, you know, you need government assistance, you know that affordable health care, you need all that shit just to survive, that you would probably want to vote for a liberal. Of the 10 poorest states, right? So the mean medium household income in the United States is $56,500. It's a national average, which is super low, by the way, compared to Canada. Right? These 10 poorest don't come anywhere near, they don't even crack 50,000. Right? So number, so of the 10, I'm going to say all in descending order. 10th poorest to the first poorest.
Okay.
How many of these do you think were Trump? Or no, easier. How many do you think were Clinton? So number 10's North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina, Louisiana, New Mexico, Kentucky, Alabama, there's a theme. There's a real theme here. West Virginia, Arkansas, and the number one shittiest place to live in the United States, Mississippi. How many of those do you think went Clinton? The answer is not zero.
Okay.
The answer is not zero.
Well, I would say the vast majority went Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not zero, I'm going to go under on three, so maybe two.
I was going to say three.
Yeah.
New Mexico.
Oh, one.
That's it.
Yeah.
New Mexico. So, my question is, and I think we have, none of us have the answer, because it's the same question we've been having all night. Why, of all the 10 poorest states, the people who should be least inclined to vote for an ultra-right-wing GOP.
So
why would you vote?
I think with low economy is low education
exactly.
as well there.
Yeah,
so.
Good point. I was bringing that up exactly.
Yeah.
So here it is. And we're gonna at 48 minutes, and it's the exact answer I wanted, because education is everything, right? Education equips you with the ability to form an opinion, an educated, well-reasoned opinion, not founded on the earth is 3,000 years old, the world is fucking flat, and, you know, autism is caused by vaccines. Education. And education, nowadays, is so accessible, the internet is so inclusive, information is out there. Everybody can find it. But all these people are going on the internet and they're finding the information that they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
and they're not finding the moderate place. They're getting pulled to the extremes.
Yeah.
So now we're back to the beginning of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Why? I can't. And I was kind of hoping to get some answers to help me write this paper, because I'm having a hell of a time with it. I can't figure it out. But yeah, it's... the only thing I can think of is people, as much as you want to make people smart and enable them to better themselves, maybe people just want to be lazy sheep, idiots hiding out in their little hovels and being blissfully ignorant.
That's why I have so
That's such a pessimistic view, though.
That's why I have so much respect for Barack Obama, because his views that he had are like so in line with my own, certainly,
yes.
and like progressive, and like for him to have that wherewithal, you know, that sort of forward thinking mentality to be you know, the president of the U.S. and the opposition he must have ran up against. So I can only imagine the like sleepless nights that he had to deal with.
So, I wasn't a big fan, all right? Not because of what he believed. Actually, I'm on point with everything he believed. I'm not a big fan because I think he was weak, okay? And here, give me a minute now to explain it. He tried to be the nice guy. He was just like, you know what? I'm going to walk across the aisle. I'm going to try to work with these people. Right? You don't understand. In this polarized world like that, John Boehner's not working with you. Mitch McConnell's not working with you. Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, all those shitbox places aren't working with you. You had 8 years to really get shit done. Like, really, he had 4 years because he became a hung president in his last term. And he had all these wonderful things that he wanted to do that he was unable to get done because he was weak, because he was trying to play nice. That being said, I respect the man. And have you seen the pictures of him lately?
Looking good.
Balling. Right? Balling. Yeah, he's down in the Caribbean. Yeah. He's parasailing. Yeah. He's got the glasses. Cheers. He's like, peace. Yeah. Build my library, bitches. I'm out.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Yeah, he was great. I don't know. I mean, he like turned around the economy. You know, he got... about health care for like 30 million people who didn't have it, you know, all
and still these stuff. People who he helped that are stuck in their little weird polarized state despise him.
That's it.
And all he tried to do was like care for them. You don't have to like them, but to care for them. Anyway, that's 51 minutes. What do you guys think?
Alright.
A lot of questions, not too many answers, but something hopefully the five people. Did I say five? Maybe six. People listening might want to think about.
Well, there's like three of us that will listen to it again. And maybe
we'll share it. We'll share it.
I'm going to shout out to my friend Elena because the Bela Rusita, she's the one that turned me on to this De La Soul. I didn't even know De La Soul had a new album out, but new, 2016. I guess that's new.
Yeah.
But something to think about. Well, thanks for coming by, guys. I'm going to turn this off, but we can still hang out because... we still have wine and a pasty.
Before?
Hmm?
It was at episode 4?
Episode 4.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. No.
3, I guess, formally.
No, episode 0 is the one we never recorded, never released. Episode 1, 2, this will be 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 3 in the can.